Hello, friends, and welcome to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. During the first hour, I interviewed two wonderful psychics, Makwa Ikwa and April Audrey, who went into Telos in the Hollow Earth. And joining me during that first hour was Michiko Hayashi, who came all the way from Tokyo, Japan, not only to be on my show, but also to do some other presentations for the Emoto Peace Project here in the United States. And actually, tomorrow on Saturday, July 1st, which is actually Canada Day in Canada, and happy Canada Day to my dear friends in Canada. Both Michiko and I will be at the Crystal Voyage Bookstore just off 38th Street, just right near the Tacoma Mall. It's a beautiful place. We'll be there from about 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Michiko will be giving out books for the Emoto Peace Project, and I'll be giving readings. So if you can come by tomorrow, it'd be great. And if you have any questions about the Emoto Peace Project, please come by the Crystal Voyage Bookstore. During the first hour, we talked about Telos and the Hollow Earth, and we'll also be talking about Telos and the Hollow Earth during the latter part of this second hour. But first, we'll be talking to a wonderful guy named Joa Jankoyes. I hope I had that name right. Who's the president of the University of Mount Shasta in Mount Shasta, California. He'll be talking about plans by Crystal Geyer to pump millions of gallons of water from Mount Shasta without any environmental review, which is completely legal, and how citizens are standing up to this company's plans to privatize local water supplies. I want to thank everyone, by the way, so much for their donations and support for this program, especially my good friends Faison and Shirley in Florida, Jan Rossini in Honda, California, Anita in Dublin, Ireland, Marco in Helsinki, Finland, Emma Louise and Jan Eric in Norway, Randy and Jessica in Mercer Island, Washington, Darren in Olympia, Washington, Raj Shastri in Toronto, Canada, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this planet a better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma, Washington, and the wonderful Wiring Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for this show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. And again, I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a much better and happier place. I want to thank everyone's, again, support for the program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the Donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your help and support for the program. I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol's designing the website and providing many hours of wonderful help on designing the website and keeping the webpage updated, as well as my galactic friends who I know are listening today in the Emoto office in Tokyo, Japan, who are doing wonderful work to make this world a much better and happier place. With that, I'd like to bring on my good friend Joa from the University of Mount Shasta in Mount Shasta, California. Joa, how are you doing today?
I'm very well. I'm very grateful to be on your show.
Oh, great, great. Well, if you could tell my many listeners around the world a little bit about your university and what kinds of things you offer there for people.
Beautiful. Well, I'm not that familiar with your audience yet. Are they familiar with the concept of ascended masters? Do you know?
I think they are. My listeners are pretty enlightened, and I have over 100,000 listeners in over 60 countries, and we all want the truth, and we're all working hard for spiritual ascension and going into the higher dimensions. So they certainly know about us. I'm sure they know about ascended masters.
Beautiful, because Mount Shasta is an ascended master hangout.
Great.
So as soon as I found out about Mount Shasta, I just felt it in my heart. This is my home, and I knew I was moving there, so I just moved. I moved from a beautiful place, Carmel, California.
Yeah.
But Mount Shasta called me, and it's been the only place on earth I've really felt at home, even though it can really challenge a person. There's so much energy here, transformation. So I'm constantly growing to live here.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, your university offers different courses in spiritual growth and advancement?
Yes. And so I mentioned Ascended Masters because 5.5 years ago, an ascended master named Saint Germain asked me to start a university. And that seemed out of the question at the moment because I didn't have any money. And so how in the world could I start a college? And he said, start a taxi business. And then I asked, well, that's a great idea because I've driven taxi before. I had a sense of the business. But wait a minute, how do I get the money to do that? And he said, somebody's going to give me money if I just move here. And that was really a leap of faith for me.
Wow.
And so I lived in a tent from August, September, October, November, even into December here next to a 14,000-foot peak.
Oh, my goodness.
It got really cold. And I had a cry one night because I'm just not the kind of person that asks people for money.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I had this cry, like, where is this person going to give me money? And then the very next day I was prompted spiritually to ask a lady I was giving a ride to the airport to for and to mention the university idea. And she, like a fairy tale, she pulled out 3 gold coins out of her purse. And
wow.
Back then, gold was at an all-time high,
wow.
$1,700 an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, I just wanted to share that there's been something more going on behind this university than just myself. So that's the way the whole thing, the ball got rolling. And now I'm at the point of selling the taxi business. It's been hugely successful, and so I'm ready to take the university to the next level. I've been developing the curriculum for the last 5 years, and now it's super solid. I'm really happy with it. So what is the university about? It is spiritual psychology, holistic healing, and life success coaching, all in 1 year. So it's an intense program of learning and growth, and it's particularly geared. Many people come from different ages. We get midlife crisis people who want to change their life, but our main focus is people who are young, they're spiritually awakening, and they realize that they just don't fit into what's being offered out there.
Sure.
And so that's what we do, is we help them find their niche, their particular way. We're a holistic practitioner school, so we find their way of helping people, their own particular way.
Wonderful.
Everybody has their own special gift to the world that's very tied into your own healing, your own personal journey. So that's what our school is about, and it is a master's program.
Wonderful, Joe. Well, would you mind if I gave out your telephone numbers, email, and website so people can get more information?
Yeah, absolutely.
All righty. Their website is www.universityofmountshasta.org. The phone number at their office is area code 530-918-6062. And your email is joa, at universityofmountshasta.org. And one thing I wanted to ask you about for a few minutes is his plans by Crystal Geyser, which is a huge water company, to essentially privatize the water of Mount Shasta and sell it around the world. Would you please tell my listeners a little bit about what you know of their plans?
Yeah, and actually Crystal Geyser is really a drug company. They're based out of Japan, but they are a multinational company.
Mm-hmm.
One of their biggest sellers is an antidepressant that they even encourage children to take. And Crystal Geyser already has another plant over in Weed, California. Plant has been known to really violate human rights in a number of ways. One guy lost his arm recently. I think that was just about 2 months ago. Actually, somebody died recently. A forklift fell on them. So they tend to overwork people. They use a temp agency to bend the labor laws, and so that they don't have to follow the labor laws. People work long hours, so every way you look at it, from my point of view, it's just not a good thing. Mount Shasta City is a city of consciousness, and thank goodness the people have been rising. And for single-use water containers, I really recommend everybody on the line to pass the word on that it's just not healthy to to, first of all, the water is not even regulated, and the water is not as healthy as you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that plastic does go into the water, I understand. And but also water that's just stagnating in a container, it's just not the same.
Sure.
So to just use water one time and then throw away that plastic, and you think about that, millions of people doing this, and we have this garbage patches developing in the Pacific Ocean, and it just doesn't work today. We just can't be doing this any longer. And so they put this big plant in. It was originally owned by Coca-Cola, Dannon.
Right.
And they went out of business, and then now Crystal Geyser took over the plant. When the plant was first built, it's, by the way, one of the largest buildings in California, right here in our little town,
wow.
Mount Shasta.
Wow.
And when they put it in, they just did it behind the people's back. They built that plant so fast and cut the ribbon, and they never filed the environmental impact review. And so when they asked, when Crystal Geyser asked for rides from my taxi company,
right?
I said no, and not until you get your environmental impact review will I even consider. And Star Townsend rising against it, and so far we've held them off. But they got a lot of money, a lot of power.
So you know something? Let me stop you right there. We have the power. The light workers outnumber the dark forces on this planet.
Thank you.
I'll give you and your friends as much airtime anytime you want to talk about this issue. So don't worry about them having a lot of power and blah, blah, blah. Their efforts, negative entities are failing on this planet because the planet is shifting into the higher dimensions. So,
isn't that great?
Yeah. It's a good time. It's a really good time to be alive. And I like your university, Joe, and I'd like to support you guys also in every way I can to get publicity out about the wonderful services that you provide in the future, too. So,
yeah, thank you, Ted.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. Well, if you've got, you mentioned there was an organization as well that organized against this.
Yeah, there's like three organizations.
Okay.
One of them is called Water, and cawater.net.
Okay.
That's very focused on just this particular issue with Crystal Geyser. It's not easy to head off a big corporation in a little bitty town. So any additional help from the outside will be very beneficial. And then another organization is called Water Deeply. Mm-hmm. And I think if you just Google that, you'll find it.
Okay.
And they keep you more abreast on what's happening around water in California area,
mm-hmm.
which is a major issue in California.
Sure.
And then there's the Bioregional Ecology Center. Bioregional Ecology Center, Mount Shasta Bioregional Ecology Center. So all those are involved in the Crystal Geyser.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think next month I'll have another show with you on it, with just focusing on this central issue with these organizations. We'll take some time to plan out a program. But, Joe, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to introduce you to my many listeners around the world because I have another program. I have another guest here I want to bring on. But anything I can do to help out on this issue, please let me know. I'd like to be of service.
Great. Well, it's been a privilege to be on the radio, and have a wonderful show.
Okay. Thank you so much, Joe. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate
it. Bye.
With that, thank you so much. And with that, what I'd like to do is to bring, we had an amazing time last weekend at Mount Shasta. And what I'd like to do is to bring in my friend Michiko Hayashi to talk about her experiences about Mount Shasta last weekend. Michiko Hayashi is the global director of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. She was Dr. Emoto's assistant before he passed away, unfortunately, in October of 2014. And she and others went with me on this wonderful spiritual journey into Telos and Hollow Earth last weekend. And thank you so much for coming on the show today, Michiko.
Hi, Ted. Thank you so much for inviting me here at the studio, beautiful studio, where we can see the beautiful view of Bellevue, Washington. Wonderful. And a beautiful day outside.
And you can also see the mountains in the distance, too, Olympic Mountains. It's such a beautiful day. And every time you're on, the, the whole studio lights up in this white light. So it's really, really nice. What kinds of experiences did you have at Mount Shasta?
Wow. A lot to say, but okay. On the very last day was very phenomenal because I was invited to go to Telos spiritually. The first thing I felt was on the very first day, I went in to the very white door, but because there were so many people around me with the group, and some people were talking, we were enjoying, so I could not go, and I heard that Telos said, it's a little bit too noisy, so we can't go in. So I could not go in at that time. But on the last day, just before we left Mount Shasta, as Makwa led me to go in, at that time, it was beautiful because I saw a lady in a white robe who took me to inside of the Mother Earth or Hollow Earth. And that there was a beautiful meadow with beautiful flowers and green meadow where a gentle river was with the flow of water, of course. And there were beautiful women and children happily gathering there. And some women were washing something. And I was just observing, and it was just beautiful. I went to some other places also in Telos.
Beautiful.
So.
Beautiful.
That was,
did you meet your guides in Telos as well?
The guide that I met was a woman in a mm-hmm. red robe, and I could not see the face, but I realized that was a lady or woman that I had seen before many years ago. That was she appeared in my dream about 14, 15 years ago, and she and I were in a beautiful forest in the morning dew, and we were communicating telepathically, and I felt most comfortable and comfort at that time. It was not like a dream, but it was very realistic, and I kept thinking who it was. Now this time, after visiting that Mount Shasta, and going into Telos and meeting this beautiful woman, I noticed something, this guide.
Wonderful, wonderful. And how did you feel like in your vibrations when you were up on the mountain? Were they higher than
it
other
was,
places?
Yes, it was much higher. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling calmness. Mm-hmm. And I felt more like I was floating also.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had the same feeling on the mountain. Had the
very
same
nice.
Feeling.
Yeah.
We have Mitch Gotch, please stand by.
Sure.
I have Angela Parker now on the line. Angela was also on the trip, and she actually sells structured water in Ashland.
Oh, that's right.
Thrive Alive Water, and it's very interesting work. But Angela, hi, welcome to Out of This World Radio.
Hi, Ted. Hi, Michiko.
Hi, Angela.
Good to hear you.
Good to hear you, too.
I miss you. You guys are so fun to be around.
Well, we miss you, too.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Angie, so much for saying that. I know you had some incredible experiences there, and you went to Ascension Rock and meditated, and Adama came to you, and he said something like, I want you to say it. What happened when you went to Ascension Rock?
Right. I just wanted to really feel, how I was observing my different senses to really listen and feel all the senses I was feeling. So I initially, when we came to the larger Ascension Park rock, I put my third eye on the door entrance area or the largest rock there and just said hello, and that I was happy to be there and knew that, I feel them. I've been working on, in my dreams for about 5 years, being helped with mastering my own self-love and my light capabilities, staying grounded. And so then I turned around from the rock and just looked out at the mountain and was just giving a prayer, gratitude and appreciation for whatever was to happen through the weekend, that I was okay with that. I didn't have to go in. I wasn't attached to that at all. But I did just kind of just pause there, and I think I was there by myself. And he came up behind me just, you know, etherically and stood behind me, and I could feel him, and I could see, you know, through my mind's eye that he was there. And he said, "Oh, Palladian, Octurian, human." Yeah. And so I had kind of wondered, you know, somewhat what my lineage was, but I really kind of intuited that was the truth, you know.
True. I get the yes
but,
on that,
you know,
too.
The melding of all of that. And so it made me kind of giggle inside because it was, you know, just like my feeling was like a brother, a big brother,
mm-hmm.
you know, that looks after you. And it really was like a coming home, like a reunion. And I feel that was what, I mean, there was right then he said, "You can come and come visit." And then I hesitated because I said, I felt like I was celebrating with all of us that
mm-hmm.
were there,
mm-hmm.
like our souls were getting to commune together on the physical presence too. And so I was pulled to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew at that moment I wasn't going to go in. I just wanted to, you know, play and hang out with all of you.
Oh, how
yeah.
funny. How funny. How
yeah.
funny. Well,
yeah.
I know that we all felt very, very, we all felt very connected there as part of a soul family, and
mm-hmm.
that we'd all been in Lemuria or the Hollow Earth before, and now this is kind of a reunion, like 12,500 years later,
mm-hmm.
a class reunion thousands of years later. And
yeah.
I wanted to also ask you, I know I felt the children of Telos around me. Michiko did, and the other people did too. Did you feel the children around you in Telos there?
I had more of the experience of the energy, not so much, yeah,
mm-hmm.
like feeling them. Because
mm-hmm.
I mentioned, because, you know, I'm just very much a fairy-like person anyway, but
mm-hmm.
like we left our crystals there to be energized, and it was mentioned that sometimes they like to take them. And I said, "You guys can have one." But I said, I'm going to need them, or I really want to keep them. But
right.
they never took them. But what I experienced was hummingbirds.
Oh,
the
okay.
hummingbirds were playing and talking, and everywhere we went, they were doing that. They would buzz me, you know.
Oh, wow.
The hummingbirds were just like, you know, doing their little antics, and
mm-hmm.
and it was the butterflies too.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, the playful spirit was there. Of the children, and very much what I think is to encourage us to remember that, to keep our balance and be in wonderment and be playful, because that raises our vibration.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, when mm-hmm. I closed my eyes when I was up at Ascension Rock in the Mount Shasta area, I could see this pink and red in my eyes, which is love vibration. And then
mm-hmm.
sometimes I would feel these little hands back in my head, and they were playing with my hair, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And I know that Michiko saw them waving at her. Is that right, Michiko?
They were waving, not this time, but last time I was
there. Last time.
Yes.
Last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were waving
yeah.
happily when I went there. And when I was leaving there, they asked me to come back.
Now, there's something very interesting, and I want to ask both of you about this, too. Mount Shasta, unfortunately, has been one of the primary targets of the secret chemtrail program being sprayed by the U.S. government. And every time I've been there before now, you've seen all these chemtrails everywhere. And the chemtrails have really been hurting the environment there because they've dumped massive amounts of aluminum particles into the atmosphere. And it's killed a lot of trees in the area, among other things, including sulfur, titanium, barium, and strontium, as well as other chemicals. But this time when we were there, Angela and Michiko, I didn't see one chemtrail, nothing. This was like over a 4 or 5 day period. And the skies were beautiful blue with no streaks of chemicals running across the sky. Did you notice that?
I noticed that.
I did. There was, maybe we had been at the restaurant.
Yeah.
It was probably at the restaurant when we all met there to meet up.
Right.
I saw some. But it was immediately, which I've seen this for quite some time. Like if you know about the air angels, like immediately they were dissipated, like
right.
swept.
Right.
They didn't stay.
Right.
And like a lot of times when it's not like that, it becomes, the sky will become really kind of cloudy
mm-hmm.
and white looking.
Right.
but none of that happened. So I've often done that myself. You can, when you see them doing that, just send love and light, and mm-hmm. you focus that attention on there, and the sylphs and the air angels will come and help with that.
Wow.
And so, but definitely I did not see that over the mountain while we were staying there. And that was beautiful because we got to see a nice clear sky at night to watch UFOs and activity going on there as well. So I really was excited for that.
Well, I have to tell both of you and all my listeners, about 2 years ago, when I started talking, two or three years ago, when I first started talking to Ambassador Twellian of the Galactic Alliance, I asked him, I said, so many people are tired of the chemtrails being sprayed here around the planet. When is this going to stop? And he gave me the number 2. That was 2 years ago. And I didn't think he meant 2 minutes, 2 seconds, 2 days, or 2 months. I took it as two years. Now it's 2 years later. And here in Seattle, for example, it's a beautiful sunny day here, and I don't see any chemtrails in the air, nothing. Mm-hmm. I saw one yesterday, actually, one or two, but usually you do see quite a few here, but I don't see any at all. And perhaps this is the beginning of the end of the chemtrails, which have been causing the planet a lot of harm. And if this is indeed the case, that's wonderful news.
I think so. I've noticed a decline in our area as well. It's mm-hmm. been of much disturbance to our local people here in Ashland.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't seen any of that in days now.
Right.
You know, not for most of the month I haven't seen them. I just think there is a big shift.
Yeah.
We were here out in the garden. We're sitting in the hot tub, and mm-hmm. I was looking up at the sky like we did when we were on our campsite,
mm-hmm.
and that one particular ship, I believe I still saw it up there,
mm-hmm.
and it moved around, and then kind of flashed, and I'm like, oh, hi, you're there still. So
yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
If they are doing, maybe they're assisting with this, you know, with the chemtrails too, I don't
yeah.
know, but
yeah.
I feel really supported right now.
Yeah.
I feel more
me
supported
too.
Than ever. And our connection with them is really a wonderful thing. It's very playful and reassuring
mm-hmm.
that things are shifting.
Yeah. And things are getting better, too. I know that I'll be bringing in you remember Charlie, Charlie Cardinal, the song,
yes.
singer and songwriter from Tacoma. He'll be coming on in about 10 minutes, but he led this nightly excursion up to the top of Mount Shasta on the road. We drove as far as we could drive because they closed the road, part of the road off because of the snow. But what was fascinating, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but we saw lights on Mount Shasta, and he noticed there were two lights at the bottom of Mount Shasta. Suddenly, they shot off in a 90-degree turn straight off to the east, and it wasn't weather balloons. It wasn't bird seagulls flying in the middle of the night. We think they were UFOs from the hollow earth, which had come out at night. And
mm-hmm.
they probably like to fly at night only because the traffic's better and there's not as much congestion on the airwaves flying around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah, I do get that. I get that too. That mm-hmm. on the last morning we were there, or
mm-hmm.
yeah, I got up really early. I was going up there in case I was going in,
mm-hmm.
and I know the night before I said, "What was there anything I should know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, should I wear something a certain color or whatever?"
Right.
And like 2 a.m, I woke up in a start and I heard this: "Wear white, wear white."
Mm-hmm.
And so I went up there early,
okay,
and I was meditating. And wore white. But
mm-hmm.
then we wound up with more people that came around, and it wound up being too many people.
Sure, right.
So that's what happened there, and I'm okay with that. That's okay with me. So.
Well, one of the messages that I got when I was up on the mountain, that if you have too many, you have to be of the highest vibration and being of one mind in that high vibration. And if you have too many people around you who aren't well connected, you'll get discordant energies, and then you don't get any communication with them at all. It's a tricky thing, but they're there. They're coming to the surface, and I think they come out at night because it's easier to come out at night. I know
mm-hmm.
that looking up in the sky, we saw what you might think is satellites, but the problem, the thing with these so-called satellites or these moving objects across the sky is that they'd sometimes zigzag and then they disappear on you, and say satellites don't do that. I know that Charlie, who I'll be bringing on in about 5 minutes, saw dozens of UFOs late one night, not only coming out of the mountain, but flying across the skies at night. And it was really just incredible what you could see up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was exciting.
And then, of course, I have to tell you about the Sasquatch. One night, about 7 or 8 o'clock at night, I brought some cinnamon rolls with the white frosting, and I put them all over this one area of Ascension Rock. Next morning, they were all gone. And I could see in my mind's eyes these Sasquatch, you know, eating them down ravenously. And they thanked me for it. They said, "This is something we can't find in the woods, your cinnamon rolls with the white frosting." So
I wonder if they got mine. I noticed my carrot cake, I left some of it was there, but I did leave some cinnamon rolls too that mm-hmm. last morning, mm-hmm. but I didn't come back and I didn't ask. So I just said, "Have fun."
Well, from what I
hope they got them.
Well, from what I've told, 9 out of 10 Sasquatches prefer the cinnamon rolls with the white frosting. They will eat the mm-hmm. they will eat the carrot cakes, but only if they can't find the cinnamon rolls. So that's
right.
According to my marketing studies.
Well, they got both. They got both.
They got both. They got both. They got both. I know that that's something that's kind of fun that they do like. And sometimes when you're out in the woods like that and you see a Sasquatch, you'll see they're in another dimension. They're interdimensional beings, and they can flip-flop between the third, fourth, and fifth dimensions. So if you're walking along a forest trail, you might see a Sasquatch in front of you, but you won't see it directly in the third dimension. Instead, you'll see the grass in front of you, or the leaves in front of you, or the pine needles in front of you start going down like there's a foot stepping on it. And mm-hmm. that entity, that Sasquatch, is in another dimension, so that their weight is bringing that down in that dimension, which is pretty incredible when you think about it.
Right. That's good. Camouflage.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolute camouflage. And so they can appear in the third dimension in a physical form, but they don't do it very often. And it's for their own safety. People have tried to shoot them before and hunt them like animals. And they don't really, particularly, they don't like that very much. So they often stay in that in those higher dimensions. But they do like the white frosting on the cinnamon rolls. That's something that they do enjoy. Eric, I was going to ask my producer, Eric, maybe we can try to reach Charlie now. We'll try to bring him on the line, too, and talk about UFOs. I'm going to go back to Michiko now and talk about your experiences. Do you remember going through a white door into Telos? Could mm-hmm. you tell about that, please?
I was guided to this place, and it was just completely white door. But we were to go in. Go through this white door, not opening the door, but go through. So that was a door that I was supposed to go through, but I just could not go because of the noise, distraction.
I see. But you did go down another time.
Yes, different time I did.
Okay. Yeah. And this white door, was it interdimensional portal?
I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think so. I believe so.
So it didn't, like a door in the third dimension, it'll open up. But this door, it's got physicality to mm-hmm. it. It's
but
there.
But you go through energetically.
But energetically, you go right through it.
Right.
Okay,
right,
interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Do you remember taking the shuttles anywhere?
No.
Okay.
It's not a shuttle, but what I experienced was there was a bluebird, in my case, bluebird, who was taking mm-hmm. me to the next place
whenever
I asked him to,
mm-hmm.
when I wanted to. I observed places where I was supposed to see, like... meadow, and then after that there was a room of the meeting room, white room with people having the meeting in white dress and white pants. Man's case, they had all the males had white pants. Everybody was fit, mm-hmm. slender, and had white pants and white shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And women had white dress, and they were having a meeting quietly, peacefully, and they were on the right. The left side room and the right side room were the group of scientists. And that's where I found Dr. Emoto, and they were not wearing any white clothes. So I was wondering why they were not in white clothes. But anyway, they were having a meeting. I was observing.
Beautiful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
That's how I went in.
This didn't happen this time, but last year when I had another group in September, mm-hmm. they were up on the meadows, higher up in the mountain,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly a man in white robes appeared to them and wanted to join them in meditation.
Oh, really?
So he joined him for a while, mm-hmm. and they asked him where he was from. They said, he said, he's not around from, he smiled and he said, not around, not from here, not from around here.
Wow. And in then, white clothes?
White clothes, yeah. Oh. And he had his facial features were, his face was rather kind of flattened. Like the Talosians, they're humans, they look like us, but their faces were, and you know, as I'm saying that, this whole entire studio is lit up again in this beautiful white light, so I know they're here. But I think that was, I believe that was a Talosian, because he bid them do and thanked him, and then he was just kind of vanished in the thin air, like he went into another dimension and left.
That's interesting.
So he was up on the mountain. So mm-hmm. Anyway, and hopefully that'll happen again sometime in the future, because I know that they know we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, what I'd like to, Angela, please stay on. I'd love your input in a few minutes, but I'd like to bring in my good friend Charlie Cardinal. Charlie, welcome to Out of This World Radio.
Well, thank you. How's everybody doing?
Oh, it's fine, Charlie. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, can you hear me okay? I'm driving in my car, but I can talk to you, so I got a nice car phone. So
okay.
Well, hands are on the wheel, and I'm just talking.
All right, good, Charlie. Well, tell us about the UFOs that you saw at night when you were up at Mount Shasta.
Oh, well, started out the first night we got up there, we were in the woods down there, and it was kind of very limited to what you could see in the sky, but we still were able to spot. It was quite active up there. We actually saw it flying together and different ones going by in multiple different directions. And we pointed our little lasers at them, and I think we got a few flashbacks, actually, which is kind of their response to they see us. And the next night, I decided to go farther up the mountain a little bit and get away from the tree line. And we were up there with a group and basically seeing all kinds of activity started happening about 10:30 or so,
mm-hmm.
and I happened to glance over at the mountain, and about a quarter, maybe a third down from the top of the mountain, well into the snow line where nobody can reach, I saw a light. I thought, okay, so I started watching this light, and it would blink off and on, and then it started moving, and I went, okay, and so me and I pointed it out to a couple of guys, and we're watching it. And we watched it probably a good half hour, and it was slowly just going back and forth across the mountain, whatever, really slowly. Mm-hmm. And just about the time we were getting tired, ready to go and take our, you know, sleep for the night, kind of turned over to glimpse one more time, like to say goodbye, and it shot straight away. Just went away.
Wow.
That was pretty impressive.
Well, I know that the people of the Telos and the Hollow Earth, they use Mount Shasta as a portal in and out, and they have extraterrestrial craft that's very highly advanced, and they go into another dimension, so they open up these portals right on the mountain and go out of the mountain all the time at night.
Yep. I have contact with some friends also from Hollow Earth. They basically say that every major mountain in the world has actually activity going on at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really pleasantly surprised to see that Mount Shasta also was quite active. And we saw even more the next night. So two of them actually ascending the mountain very, very slowly and just going higher and higher and higher on the mountain until finally they were up in the sky. But it was over a period of probably an hour.
Wow.
Along with all the activity that was going up above us, there was all kinds of craft flying around us. So it was a very magical place.
I think it was Makwa who told me, or someone there told me, that there's a group of humans from Alpha Centauri that have a base, actually, on the north side of the mountain. Did you hear about that?
Yep.
That's what I heard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot of activity going on underground.
Right. And as far as I know, The craft that you see there are all benevolent. You don't see any negative craft from the reptilians at all. They're all benevolent extraterrestrials who like to hang out.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I've never had any kind of unpleasant experience with where I've always been magical validation of anything that I've followed most of my life.
Right. Right. And my Galactic Alliance friends say that the air, the mountain's protected. And I wanted to tell you, too, that I asked for and received protection for all of us last weekend on Mount Shasta from the Galactic Alliance. They assigned, depending upon the time of day and night, they assigned 3 to 5 craft to keep us protected and safe. And we were totally safe and protected. And they also protected us. Yeah, I could feel that presence. They also protected us on our way home as well. So, which was good.
Yep, it was a very magical story. A little too warm for my taste, but of course I'm sitting in 90-degree or so weather here in Seattle too. So.
Yeah, it was pretty warm down there. I wanted to go back. Charlie, please stay on, but Angie, I wanted to ask you about your experience. Did you experience the door as well going into Telos, or did you experience just the Adama and the spirits from Telos coming up to meet you directly?
It was more like when we did the meditation the last day, it was more like going down in it, mm-hmm. and like going into a cave, and then I was not quite through to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I just got there kind of like before it became like the city,
mm-hmm.
and it was just like I was waiting there. So I think for me would be preparation for next time, to just be comfortable with whatever I'm not familiar with,
sure.
and that it's okay,
mm-hmm.
and then I can be more relaxed, because I tend to be very much in the senses of paying attention, especially if there's noise around and outside of, you know, what's going on Earth, and so I'm very aware, and I think that's what it is preparation for the next visit, and we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that the Telosians and the people of the Hollow Earth want to establish contact with us here on the surface. They're looking mm-hmm. for people who are a high vibrational frequency, or at least have a sincere heart to make this planet a better place. And if your heart's in a good place, they will contact you, and you will be able to contact them as well. I think it's important to meditate when you're up there and give yourself as much quiet time as possible. And that includes shutting off your computers and cell phones, too, because sometimes you do get interfered with by the electronic pollution from cell phones and computers. But they are real. They are there. And like you were saying, Charlie, we had all these UFOs flying around us all night. And, you know, probably if you stayed up all night, you probably would witness many, many UFOs flying in and out of the mountain all night. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite busy. But we were tired from our hiking all day, but it was a nice way to end the evening, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, in September, when I take another group there, small group, Scott Lemriel has said he will be coming this time. And Scott's been in face-to-face and physical and telepathic contact with the Galactic Alliance for the past 54 or 55 years. And so I know that that'll be a nice addition to the program. And of course, then we'll also be seeing Diane Robbins, who's the author of several books on Telos and the Hollow Earth. And the one thing too that I love about Mount Shasta is you have all these wonderful lakes where you can go swimming and hiking as well. Charlie, what was your favorite place around Mount Shasta?
Oh, when we went to the waterfalls there. On the sunny river there, that was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. There's a series of waterfalls south of Mount Shasta. They're called Upper, Middle, and Lower Falls, and we went swimming in one falls called the Middle Falls, and that water was so cold, but it was a hot day. It must have been close to 100 degrees, so you didn't really feel the cold water when you went swimming, and the water looked so clean you could probably drink it. And Angie, what was your favorite spot on the mountain?
That was it too. I know somebody mentioned that when the water's not so high, you can walk behind the falls. So
mm-hmm.
That's definitely a return. Maybe the water will be lower by September,
right?
And we can experience that. I'd like to do that. I really loved getting in the water. It definitely brings back the mermaid in me, and
mm-hmm.
I love working with water. And however we can, you know, help the whole planet, you know, just be returned to her heaven on earth is really what I'm here to do. And the more, the merrier. That want to do that.
When When I was, thank you. When I was down there too, someone told me that there was actually a portal behind the waterfalls. And when the water's lower, you can actually walk. There's a cave behind there, and if you walk in the cave, you have to be careful because you might end up walking into the hollow earth.
Yeah, that's what had me curious too.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's definitely a visit again. Have a date.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Michiko, you've been to Mount Shasta several times now and visited with the Talosians. And you've also got good, strong, intuitive, I would call psychic, but you call intuitive powers. Are you getting any messages from them now that you'd like to share with my listeners?
I don't know if I'm getting messages even now, but I realized one thing. When I went there last year, they welcomed me, but I could not go in. And I met them. And when I was leaving there, they waved at me and told me to come back. Please come back. So that was last year. And this year, I could go in, of course, spiritually got in. But I had that tour of Hollow Earth. And I think it's not just from the beginning. I mean, in my case, I could not go in from the beginning, from the first time. But the more you go, the more the pure you become, and the more you are connected with them, I think the faster you can go in. So in my case, I may have to go there several times so that I can really experience more and more and to share the higher energy.
I think one thing that's happening I've noticed is that I was there last year as well. And every time I go there, maybe it's because maybe it's several factors. The vibration of the planet's getting higher. My own vibration's getting higher. But it's easier and easier for me to talk to them and easier for me to go in visit them in the hollow earth.
Maybe because you're psychic, so you can talk with them.
Probably.
I can't talk with them. They talk to me.
Yeah. But they're there.
They're there.
And it's getting easier and easier to talk to them and easier to contact them as well.
To communicate with them, yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Angela, Angie and Charlie, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely got, we'll be back.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We'll be back.
Yeah. Go ahead, Angie, then Charlie.
Okay. Definitely I kept getting come back, and a lot of joy about that. And definitely in the meantime, what we'll continue to do is to ask and to ask questions and listen for the answer during meditation directly with the Talosians, with Adama, and listen to what is beneficial and helpful for us right now to raise our vibration. And we're getting a lot more awareness about that, and it will become even easier. So that's wonderful news, and just listen to anything that comes through dreams. I know I got a dream this morning about keeping in balance the masculine of doing and doing and doing, and they don't work hardly there in Telos. They have a few chores, and then they get on with what makes their day happy, and they create things, and they think in terms of immortal creating, not something that's just going to last a short time.
Beautiful.
But things that they fill their whole joy with are, pleasures and abundance and appreciating each other and enjoying their life there. So it's a good reminder for all of us in this tech age and the busy, do this, do that.
Right.
That's part of what lowers our vibration.
I agree. I totally agree with you, Angie.
Yeah. Wonderful. And Charlie, I'd love your opinion.
I was going to say that be very open-minded, and if you are open-minded and you're loving, you're going to see stuff. I've been watching and seeing things my whole life, and different kinds of lights up in the sky, and basically also let everybody know, on the 4th of July is a really, really good time to start watching low on the horizon, even higher up in the sky and all that. Because it seems to be a very active time. But, I mean, they've flown over my house, and I see them take right eagle turns, and they stop, couldn't even stop, and then start going again. It's quite entertaining. So you know that it's not just, a shooting stars or satellite mobile or whatever. But,
right.
It's time for us to realize we're not alone and for the whole world to wake up and welcome our brothers and sisters in a black world.
Well, one of the things that messages that I'm getting now, there are two messages. One's from the Sasquatch. Be sure to bring those non-GMO cinnamon rolls with that white frosting. They do enjoy that. That's something they just can't buy up at Mount Shasta. They're just not around. Okay, that's the first thing. And the second thing, the kids of Telos love little crystals. So if you are on Mount Shasta, bring little crystals. There's a wonderful bookstore and spiritual center called Soul Connections in downtown Shasta. They have some. They're wonderful people. I really like them. The owners there, and they have wonderful selections of crystals there, and they're not very expensive. I mean, for a couple dollars, you can get a whole handful of beautiful quartz crystals. And if you leave them up on Mount Shasta at some of these portals, the kids of Telos will really appreciate it. And, you know, you can just leave them there. It's gifts to them, and they'll appreciate it, and they'll know where they've come from. And with that, we've got about three or four minutes left. And, Charlie, I'd like to give you just a little time to please wrap up whatever you'd like, your wonderful interview today.
I just want to share that I did go to Ascension Rock, and I had quite an amazing experience. I was surrounded by hummingbirds and even a red squirrel, which was a very sacred thing to me of a past experience in this lifetime that helped me heal some, unpleasant experiences, whatever was going on, but just very magical. And then I actually saw psychically or spiritually that I was surrounded by the children and the Telosians, and they just were welcoming me, and it was just a very, very powerful, magical healing experience, and I recommend it to anybody that wants to connect.
Wonderful, wonderful, Charlie. And Angie, I'd love to, if you could please wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Yes, we had an impromptu ceremony that was a peace pipe ceremony too, and that's really going to stay with me, that they came out and the Telosians surrounded us and joined the circle and really merged our two civilizations or communities of inner dimension, and so encouraged of how we're going to be working together to help our planet here. So I highly recommend going there to have more contact and connection with the Telosians.
Absolutely, and they're all waiting for us now. And communication is getting much, much easier. And Michiko, Michiko, we've got a little time left, please. Oh,
thank you. I was really grateful that I was able to be with everyone at Mount Shasta and get into Telos, and more than that experience, what I'm really grateful for was that I was able to give water blessing prayer with everybody at the source of that water from Mount Shasta, and offering love and gratitude and Ho'oponopono to water there, and also to Mother Gaia with everyone. And collectively, our consciousness and the power of love and gratitude expanded. And I was truly grateful. And I think it really meant a lot to this earth and also the water all around the world. So thank you so much for allowing me to do that.
My pleasure. Could you give a water prayer now quickly and use your Love Hertz tuning fork?
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, this is the 528 Hertz tuning fork, which spreads love around the world. Go ahead and ring it, Michiko.
Love and gratitude to you. Open up on our
Yeah.
Water, we're sorry. Water,
we're sorry.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michiko, so much for that special, special prayer. Really appreciate it. And Charlie and Angie and Makua and April, Michiko, thank you all so much for coming on the show today.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that it was a magical time down there, and what really was added the whole thing was there's a reunion of people that we must have all been together at one point in time in another life, because it was like for brothers and sisters that were a very, very wonderful meeting of the new faces, but old faces that were in new bodies.
I couldn't agree with you more, Charlie and Angie and Michiko. It's a beautiful experience, and I know we were all in Lemuria many, many years ago. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening to Out of This World Radio. I hope you all have a beautiful and happy weekend. Bye-bye, and happy 4th of July, and happy Canada Day to my friends in Canada.